Good afternoon. Today is Monday, January the 16th, 16th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the bank dude, Mr. John Dalby.
Brian, it's just absolutely a pleasure to be with you once again.
I'm waiting for the crowd cheers.
Yay!
Let me try it again. Mr. John Dalby!
Yay. No, it didn't work either.
I think Carlin did it better on his records. Where we would cup it over the mic. Yeah!
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thunderous applause.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
This afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about the most current economic information we have about Humboldt County, some of the things that 2011 meant, some of the things that 2012 may bring. We'll shine up that crystal orb and see what shows, other than a couple of foreheads, when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby from Redmond Capital. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, he found it, and now he's throwing it away again to me. Mrs. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, to me, she was probably the most typical, prototypical, rather, first lady, Barbara Bush.
Barbara Bush,
yeah. I mean, she just kind of, that's what I think of. I probably would have been totally confused during the Kennedy administration. If quote, you don't.
You're really struggling with this one.
I know. Two words in and I'm lost. You just don't luck into things as much as you like to think you do. You build step by step, whether it's friendships or opportunities. That's kind of like the John Wooden quote. Luck is when opportunity meets preparation.
Mm-hmm. I think Mike Kaczynski uses that for his advertising.
I know, and he doesn't give attribution to it, does he? But I keep thinking, oh, that's Coach. That's Coach. That's Coach. 2011 in Humboldt County, economically speaking. Do you have a two-word phrase that might describe it?
A two-word?
I'm allowing you a verb or an adjective to go in with the noun there.
Well, to get two words, I'd have to, let's see, we'll have to make up a word. Little bit is one word.
Okay.
Little bit better.
Okay. How about somewhat?
I used little bit. You asked me. You wanted my opinion.
Well, then you go, you can't count to three or two?
No, it's a...
Spell it.
I can't. No.
Okay.
Yeah, we won't go there.
I can't spell. I have a speech impediment. What?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. By a little bit, are you thinking that it's ending in a little bit better position than where we started?
No,
or for the whole year, it was just a little bit better?
I think we're ending a little bit better than we did, than we started the year in 2011. You're seeing an increase in the number of home sales from a year ago, which is certainly a positive. We are seeing, retail sales are down just a little bit from a year ago.
Not surprising considering some of the closures that have happened in Humboldt County over
right.
the year.
Manufacturing's up about 12%, or 12 points, so that's a positive. So we're seeing some good things that have happened in the economy from where we were a year ago. But we're certainly not seeing price appreciation in real estate. We're not seeing a lot of those types of positives. One of the things that we're still seeing is the price-rents ratio is still moving in favor of the landlords currently, which means more
people. Is that positive or negative?
Well, if you're what it tells me, two things. One is... From a value perspective, your real estate has greater value from a cash flow perspective. But it does tell me that people are still renting more than they are buying homes.
Well, do you see that would change in any economy until Humboldt County starts encouraging businesses that employ people? We could be great, but if nobody's expanding, there's no new businesses coming to the area, the under 40s still can't get jobs here that pay salaries enough to warrant or provide the ability to buy a home. I almost see them as two separate tracking areas. Am I missing something?
Two separate. Name the two.
Job growth in Humboldt County,
mm-hmm,
and housing costs, or price-rent ratios, right, in Humboldt County. Almost unrelated.
Well, you have, yeah. They are, of course, they go together to come up with, you know, where the economy is going. Certainly, we need more jobs in the county if we want to see more prosperity. That's the bottom line. Right now we're, we have been reliant on public sector jobs to drive the economy of Humboldt County. In fact, at one time, I don't know where it is now, but at one time we were over half the jobs here were government-based.
Yeah, government growth offsetting private sector shrinkage.
Correct.
That's kind of how it
exactly
played.
And now we're seeing some government shrinkage. At the same time, we're not promoting any new base jobs here. Most of what we're seeing in expansion is in retail or hospitality, lower wage jobs. We don't have that safety net. There was a time, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that somebody came out of high school, and if they didn't go on to college, they could get a job in the woods, they could get a job at a lumber mill that paid a living wage, and they could actually raise a family and retire on it.
Well, don't forget, the fishing industry.
Correct.
What could happen there, and then all the supports, welding and mechanicking and all that kind of stuff, too.
Correct.
We're all second tier, third tier off those primary resource-based industries.
That's correct. Yeah. So those jobs paid living wages. If you go into the hospitality sector, which is tourism, which is right now about, probably the bigger growing sector for us, or at least the most stable. I guess it's growing in proportion to the rest, is what I should say, is it shrinks.
But not those as much,
yeah. But those are not living wage jobs. For the most part, working in a restaurant or a hotel.
They can be nice complimentary incomes.
Correct, but usually it's...
But not as a primary.
Exactly. So those are the ones that's why we're not seeing, the big uptick in home ownership, and we're seeing more rental housing demand.
The other thing that could be driving it down the road is less inventory of the new homes. Whether the housing element of the general plan shrinks things down, as some contend, or make it more difficult to develop homes, and just the normal attrition of structures being not used for homes. I mean, the rezoning and things like that. Do you see anything that's going to drive the spike up of house value until we do start to see, I wouldn't say significant, but an upward trend of job development, not in one niche, not in another niche, but broad-based and across the whole spectrum?
You got to look at supply and demand, and currently there's greater supply of housing than there is demand for it. Therefore, you're not going to see an upward movement in prices. The same thing is true. You're not going to see more houses built, because economically you can purchase greater value than you can construct. So if you had the choice of building a new home or buying an existing home, you'd find that you can buy one much cheaper than you can build one, for the most part. I mean, there are exceptions, but for the most part. And until those things swing, we're not going to see an uptick. So we need more demand for housing, which is universal. We're not as far in the hole as the rest of the state of California and many, many pockets across the country. But we certainly do have more supply than demand currently.
You're not trying to get in my pockets, are you?
No.
Okay, good. I heard an interesting comment earlier last week, and how gas prices get the attention of everybody. Gas prices going up now. It was the hidden tax, hidden cost. They pointed out insurance and also cost of food. As one caller, I think it may have been in the Wall Street program, they were discussing it, and the cost of food in the last 2 years has gone up between 15 and 20%. Obviously related to gas, related to weather, related to a whole bunch of different things. But that cost factor is eating away whatever increases somebody might have had in their income, as well as insurance. Even if it's a pass-along copay kind of a situation where you're not taking the full brunt yourself, that also is nibbling away. So when we talk about the housing affordability, you almost have to look at it with that as a backdrop. What it, you know, in 2 years, with the houses, with the stock, with the cost, mm-hmm. where are some of those fixed costs in living going to go? You can say yes.
Yeah.
Setting it up for the Richardson's Grove punch through,
mm-hmm. right,
or straightening. Do you see that as one of the big things that has to happen in 2012?
That is going to help our economy in this way. We will be able to, it will reduce the cost of the goods that we buy here on the retail shelf, could lower the cost of gasoline to some degree, but most of our commodities will go down in price simply because they don't have to re-trailer everything before they bring them here.
I've seen some stuff that says 5 to 8%.
It could be, yeah.
I mean, now we start talking about economic impacts to our area.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's getting another 5 to 8% spending
right.
power.
And it actually levels the field between the locals and the big boxes, which I know has been the opposite argument, but the reality is that the big box retailers have their own truck lines, and all they have to do is have a smaller trailer, and they can bring their stuff up here. It doesn't impact them as much as somebody who has to contract with somebody to bring goods and services here and reload from one trailer to another to bring it here. So it levels that playing field to some degree. You know, you mentioned the cost of food. You know, a big part of that is a lot of our corn is currently being diverted into the creation of ethanol, which has turned out to be, you know,
boondoggle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yet we're still subsidizing. It's still required that we do this. I mean, where's Congress? You know,
on break.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not
maybe,
but not at recess.
Not. Yeah.
Sorry.
KINS News and Information Times 427. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 430. We're back for a moment with the bank dude. John, the infrastructure that we deal with here on the North Coast, we've got the redundant fiber optic line now.
Big positive.
Okay. If, in fact, I guess the judge is ruling the end of this week. Yeah, heaven help us, huh? The Ninth Circuit.
Right.
The guy who saw it before that said, yes, there's validity in the lawsuit
right.
is going to be the determined side. Hopefully it'll happen. Those are pretty two pretty significant changes from 2011 to 12. Is that a trend?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't see a whole lot of additional infrastructure. I mean, you have the Martin Slough project that will give some additional housing opportunities in Cutton. Other than that, I don't see a great deal of infrastructure being created for the county.
Is this a little bit, or is this a nice improvement?
It's a nice improvement.
KINS News and Information Times 431.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a lampist to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby, president of Redwood Capital Bank. John, if 2011 was a hyphen contracted two-word phrase, I wrote it down. It really looks weird, man. A little bit better.
Yeah.
What word are you looking at for 2012?
I think more of the same. I think we're going to see a slight upward trend in economic activity, but not significant for 2012. There just isn't the kind of projects that will bring a great deal of new full-time jobs here. I mean, PG&E is very active still out at the power plant. Part of that is driving some of the rental numbers that we're seeing. Because they have a lot of temporary workers here, and of course,
yeah, they got what, 2 or 3 years left.
Yeah, and so you know we're gonna benefit from that for a period of time, but when that ceases, I think you're gonna see some voids, some excess capacity in the rental markets, and hopefully that'll be taken up by people going back in and starting to purchase homes and having owner-occupied premises expand, or owner-occupied homes become more prevalent in our economy.
What has to be the spread before property owners will start to seriously consider selling for an owner-occupied from a rental situation?
You know, it's really tough to get somebody, if it's cash flowing, to you know, here's the problem. If you own a home and you're renting it, and we'll use a single family dwelling because it's most likely to be sold, and it's cash flowing, if you sell it, you got to pay taxes on
that. Would be
on
positive cash flowing.
Yeah, okay. You know, if you sell it, you got to pay taxes on the gain. You no longer have that positive cash flow income, so it's really difficult to get somebody to want to sell it unless the headaches become, you know, too great. I mean, not everybody's cut out to be a landlord. Once you have a bad experience, you go, I want to sell. I want to be done with it. And there are renters out there that take advantage of landlords. You're not going to see a whole lot of people encouraged to sell them for economic reasons.
Unless the housing purchase market takes off.
If it takes off and there's a huge gain,
and
the
rental really becomes soft, so it's not, it goes from positive to a negative situation.
Yeah, it gets so soft that you can't rent it out anymore. And I could see rents dropping substantially when PG&E leaves, and if we start to see some other things, trends in the economy, you could see a softening of the rental market.
20-25%?
I have no idea.
Do you think? I mean, we haven't rented in 30 years, so I don't have much connection to that market, but I would think if it starts to become a drain
and you don't see some of the traditional ones like the schools that continue to expand their enrollment base, why would you want to hold on to something that isn't positively cash flowing for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, the schools are contracting. They're not growing at this point, which brings up a whole other issue. What do you do with the excess property? And, we've seen...
Depends on what school district you're talking about, yeah. Apparently. And that does bring on another topic for 2012. Yeah, it's going to be an election year. We're going to have a new congressman, or I think only men are running, so a new congressman that may or may not be familiar to us. Okay, we've got the national stuff that's going on. A lot of political attention will be given. Do you see that that's going to take away any momentum that might be there for economic development, economic expansion, business attraction, leakage retention or restriction that I would suggest needs to be going on in our region?
I think for the way it's been redistricted, we are going to get less attention from our congressmen than we have in the past. We're going to be linked to the Marin County area, and that little sliver coming all the way up here. We're just an afterthought. All the money, all the influence, all of the votes are going to be in Marin County, even more so than it is now. I think Congressman Mike Thompson has at least done an admirable job of coming up here and talking to us and spending
remembering
time.
Us every once in a while.
Yeah. But certainly, I think we're going backwards as far as our representation to
so
the
U.S. Congress.
So you weren't
pleased with the way this one turned out?
No, I think it's...
more of a horizontal. I think we have more in common than Shasta County than we do in Marin County.
That's correct. There's just very little in common with Marin County that we have. And so what's good for them is not going to be good for us and vice versa. And so guess what's going to happen?
Money wins.
But then we're, I think we're kind of used to that. That's the way it's always been, is that...
We won't feel a loss necessarily with that. So as if we recognize the fact that we are on our own, and it seems rather apparent, do you sense that there's many machines, many people, many engines, if you will, for commerce, looking at business attraction on a systemic, process-oriented, process-based approach to get businesses into Humboldt and Del Norte County?
Are there people working towards that end? The answer is yes. Is that a priority for our county as a whole? And I think you have to look at it, based on how we vote, the fact that we're in the state of California and that we're influenced by the Coastal Commission. All that, as I look at it, tells you that we are a very unattractive place to do business, and it's probably not going to get a whole lot better regardless of some of those efforts. Been talking with somebody who wants to do an expansion, a significant expansion to their business, and they've been working on it for years and can't get any, real assistance in getting it done. The best thing for that person is really to go somewhere else.
And relocate.
Right.
Yeah.
And if they weren't tied to this community, they probably would do that. Is the climate here favorable for jobs and commerce? The answer is no. But if you look at the way we have historically voted, that's pretty much what we want.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:43. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. John, 2012 does have a chance to
to be something, a benchmark here. We got the balloon track. If that is allowed, I won't say permitted because I know that has separate definitions, allowed to occur, and we actually see dirt being thrown around, in and of itself, can that project put a positive spin and employ enough people to get that whole machine starting to take us in the direction that we were alluding to in the earlier segment?
Well, let's kind of look at the various elements. One, you've got the first element is, you know, the fact that construction is taking place. It means people are working. Materials are being purchased and in pretty significant amounts. So that is all very, very positive for the community.
And it's a big scale.
It's a big scale. Two, you're going to, you know, are you really creating more retail or commerce? You know, if the, I think it's Home Depot, if that actually becomes part of it, I don't know if that's even an element in it anymore, but, you know, will something like that keep some of the dollars here that are going out? You know, the leakage, I think you refer to it as, being that there's more competitive pricing and, you know, more things available, fewer people are going to go over the hill or up to Crescent City or wherever to purchase items. That can be a positive. There'll be some additional retail space because I understand if still mixed use as it originally was, some residential, some commercial space. That will then bring a lot of new inventory onto the market. And so you're going to see for a period of time a shift of excess inventory for rental space, whether it's commercial or residential. So there'll be a period of time of equalization. Overall, it's a very positive thing. But I think when it first opens up, you're going to see some negative things happen as tenants Simply. Move.
Yeah.
Tenants move from, you know, either downtown or old town or some other place to occupy that space. But certainly removing the blight is going to be another positive.
What about the opening of Walmart in the preparation for that? I know that there's still a very elitist feeling about Walmart from a lot of people. I think I have gone to the spot where it's middle America. It's regular guy. Okay. But a lot of construction. A lot of anticipation for that. And again, as straightening the road saves money, I would suggest that having a competitor like that will see some ripples, like you were alluding to with the balloon track, but ripples through the pricing strategies of other competitive businesses that now don't have that competition.
Well, most of the local retailers don't compete against Walmart.
True.
You know, your local retailers are in grocery and specialty items. As opposed to, so really who they're going to compete against is going to be Target and Kmart, and it's very possible we're going to see Kmart go away.
The Sears relocation. Well, Eureka, not
Eureka.
Kennedyville.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not a big Walmart fan, but at the same time, you know, it is a free market. And
well, and you talk about leakage. I mean, I know you've spent a fair amount of time in Crescent City also.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Eureka people and vehicles that are in that parking lot every day.
It's amazing how many people go to Walmart in Crescent City, and it's a day event.
Yeah. Now, combined with Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
So if those two retailers are here, now Crescent City may not be liking it.
Yeah.
But if those dollars stay in, both would be inside the city of Eureka.
That's the gain. I mean, but anytime you're adding to retail, the only gain you're going to get is in reduction of leakage, as opposed to bringing base jobs, which would be in manufacturing or natural resources.
Got to have a partnering going on there.
Exactly.
Thanks for coming by.
Good to see you, Brian.
We've been talking shop with the bank. Don't try to see him at work today. He's not there because he's here. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love and see you tomorrow.